Just compose your mind, develop the faith, sadha, virya, then mindfully we shall commence the puja. Namo Bhansi Sijia Moni Fo. Namo Bhansi Sijia Moni Fo. Namo Bhansi Sijia Moni Fo. Namo Guan Sing Pusa. Namo Guan Sing Pusa. Namo Guan Sing Pusa. Namo Ami Tho Fo. Namo Ami Tho Fo. Namo Ami Tho Fo. Namo Mi Lo Fo. Namo Mi Lo Fo. Namo Mi Lo Fo. Namo Pusien Pusa. Namo Pusien Pusa. Namo Pusien Pusa. Namo Fo Pusa. Namo Fo Pusa. Namo Fo Pusa. Arahang Sama Sambuddho Bhagava. Buddhang Bhagavantang Abhivadimi. Swakato Bhagavata Dhammo Dhammang Namassami. Supatipanno Bhagavato Savakasangho Sanghang Namami. Okay, you can be seated, then turn to page 1 of the chanting book, Vandana. Okay. After we chant the Vandana, then only or you want to offer the thing first. Okay, let us offer the food that come in later. Can put it there. Sadhu, sadhu. Sadhu. Okay, the garland. Now, offer the garland. Never mind, they got more than enough. You all have to offer. Each person offer one. Then, as they offer, we rejoice. Sadhu. 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 When you make offering to Triple Gem, you receive a lot of wholesomeness, a lot of blessings. Especially flowers, fruits. Then all the offering items that are of great significance, they have very, very beautiful and deep devotional meaning, then it also gives rise to understanding of the teaching. Then a lot of this puja offering, they have great significance, just like when we chant them, when we make our puja aspiration based on our understanding of its great significance, you can bring forth a lot of wholesomeness. And a lot of blessings too. Then you will receive a lot of what they call respective, beautiful, appropriate fruition of the things you offer. Even rejoicing can be a very powerful merit. Then when you offer things like incense, clear water, light, then you also offer fruits. Then sometimes you also offer garland. Garland. They have this perfume smell. Not only the incense has perfume, the garland and some of these flowers also too, they have the perfume. So this will give you a very nice fragrance. Then this fragrance, actually, the devas, they like it because if you really can understand in the Deva realm, they are among devas with a lot of fragrance, but they down when they are near to the earthly realm where humans are. We got a type of smell. We don't have much fragrance unless you use a lot of perfume. Otherwise, to them, human body is like very smelly to them. So when they have this fragrance, they feel better when they are near you. But if you have the condition to smell them, it's really, really fragrant. The fragrance is so different, so intense. So this is something that we can learn. Okay, now we continue our puja chanting. Turn to page 1. We will continue from Vandana. Namo Tassa Bhagavato Arahato Sammasambuddhassa. Namo Tassa Bhagavato Arahato Sammasambuddhassa. Namo Tassa Bhagavato Arahato Sammasambuddhassa. Buddhang saranang gacchami, Dhammang saranang gacchami, Sanghang saranang gacchami, Dutiyampi buddhang saranang gacchami, Dutiyampi dhammang saranang gacchami, Dutiyampi sanghang saranang gacchami, Tatiyampi buddhang saranang gacchami, Tatiyampi dhammang saranang gacchami, Tatiyampi sanghang saranang gacchami, Panatipata viramani sikha padang samadhiyami, Adinadana viramani sikha padang samadhiyami, Kamesu micchacara viramani sikha padang samadhiyami, Musavada viramani sikha padang samadhiyami, Surameraya majapamadatana viramani sikha padang samadhiyami. Now we will chant the padipa puja, offering of light. Ganna sarapaditena dipena tamadangsina diloka dipang sambudang pujayami tamonudang ganda sambarayutena dopena hang sugang hina pujayami yani yang tang puja bajana mutamang Vanna ganda guno petang etang kusuma santatin pujayami munindasa siri pada sarorohe pujemi buddhang kusumena nena punnena matena ca hotu mokhang Upang milayati yata idang me kayo tata yati vinasabhavang adivasetu no bante paniyang parikapitang anukampang upadaya patigan hatu mutamang Adivase tuno bante pale parikapitang anukampang upadaya ปาติกันหาตุมุตตมังอาดิวาสิทุโนบันเทโบจานังปริกาพิทังอนุคัมปังอุปาดายะปาติกันหาตุมุตตมัง Now we chant the puja aspiration based on our understanding of the significance of all this puja offering. Significance of offering of light.May this offering of light to the Buddha bring forth the causes and conditions to illuminate our mind and help arise the needed clarity and understanding to dispel all darkness or ignorance therein. Significance of offering of water. May this offering of pure, clear, cool water lead us to the pure, clear Dhamma.That cools and doses off the fires of all defilements within our mind. Significance of offering of incense. May our morality, virtue, and understanding shine forth far and wide, just like the fragrance of this incense, which we are offering to the Blessed One, who is perfect in wisdom and virtue. Significance of offering of fruits.May this offering of fruits remind us of the Dana Parami of generosity and the fruit of our karma, so that we will diligently strive on with heedfulness to attain the path and fruition sooner possible. And significance of offering of flowers. May this constant offering of flowers to the Blessed One strengthen our faith and constantly remind us of the impermanence of this body.So that we will diligently and sincerely strive on to cultivate sila, samadhi, and panya, leading to ultimate liberation, the bond-free nibbana, making of overall aspiration. By the power of all these merits, born of these offerings, may our spiritual faculties of sadha, virya, sati, samadhi, and panya,be further strengthened until they become balas or powers, sharing and transfer merits to all beings. May these merits be shared and transferred to all beings without exception, especially those who have the condition and affinity to receive them. Sadhu, sadhu, sadhu. Okay, let us pay respect to Triple Gem, huh?Bedang pujami. Damang pujami. Sanghang pujami. Okay. You can be seated. Then we can get ready. For meditation, but today I want you to radiate some metta and send some pure wish and kind thought to our sister Susan. She is still recuperating, resting in ICU in Subang Medical. She had a very minor stroke, but she is recovering very well. So she need that rest, the peacefulness of mind. So we will radiate this.Peacefulness of mind, metta, love, well-being to her, then you can evoke kind thought and blessing. You can radiate your own merits or wholesomeness or invoke power of merits via your relationship with her or understanding of what she has done for the sasana, for the kayanamitas, for whatever things.That can bring about merits and wholesomeness. We rejoice, then we evoke power merits for causes and conditions for Sister Susan to recover to good health and be free of any complication or suffering so that she can be discharged early and she can gain back her healthto do all the Dhamma work that she has been doing. including cultivation, sharing, and helping. Okay. We will do for about 5 minutes. Then you continue your meditation. I will ring the bell after half an hour. Then mindfully, slowly, you all can come out of meditation for us to continue with the Dhamma sharing. Okay, now you can proceed.
Thank you. Thank you. Thank you.
For those who still want to meditate, you can continue. For those who have enough, slowly, mindfully, come out of meditation. Then turn to page 6, we will do the invocation to the devas. Invocation to the devas. In this universe, in their entirety, let the deities or devas come here. Let them hear the good doctrine or teaching of the King of Sages, which gives heaven and release Nibbana. This is the time to listen to the teaching. This is the time to listen to the teaching. This is the time to listen to the teaching. Samantha Chakawalesu Atra gacchantu devata Saddhammang muni rajasa Sunantu sakamokkhadang Dhamma savanan kalo ayang badanta Dhamma savanan kalo ayang badanta Dhamma savanan kalo ayang badanta Namo tassa bhagavato arahato sammasambuddhassa Namo tassa bhagavato Arahato sammasambuddhassa Namo tassa bhagavato Arahato sammasambuddhassa Ittipiso bhagava arahang sammasambuddho Vicacarana sampanno Sugato lokavido Anuttaro purisa dhamma sarati Satta deva manusanang Buddho bhagavati Swakato bhagavata dhammo sanditiko akaliko ehipasiko opanayiko pachyatang veditabhu vinohiti.Supatipanno bhagavato savakasangho Ujupatipanno bhagavato savakasangho Nyayapatipanno bhagavato savakasangho Samichipatipanno bhagavatoSavakasangho Yadidam Chattari Purisa Yokani Atta Purisa Pugala Esa Bhagavato Savakasangho Ahuneyo PahuneyoDakineyo Anjali Karaneyo Anuttarang Punyaketang Lokasati Sadhu 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 Okay, let us pay respect to Pujam.Vandang Pujemi Dhammang Pujemi Sanghang Pujemi Okay, y'all can be seated, then we can continue with our Dhamma sharing here. We are at chapter 11, ending page 190, the Buddha and his teaching by Venerable Narada. Tonight we will get Sister Pauline to be the leader. So Pauline, you ready? Come. You can take over.
Good evening, Brother Teo, Mrs. Teo, and all Kayanamitas. This is Chapter 11, the Buddha's Royal Patrons. Actually, those like Mahakasapa, Tera, Gata, I actually don't understand. So I refer to the Mandarin and look at the both sides also. They are both you. So I leave it this part to Brother Teo to explain.
Yeah, no problem. Yeah, okay.
And basically, these two kings, they are the strong supporter of Buddha Sakyamuni. And let me give you a brief background about these two countries. They are sitting on top of each other, one of the north, one of the south. So one of them, the king is King Bibinsara, and the other one is King...Pasanadi.
Yeah, Pasanadi.
Pasanadi. Actually, through marriage, they become relative, but somehow or other, they also fight in the war between them. Okay, so the king Pasanadi Kosala, his father Maha Kosala, actually he got a daughter and a son at least, and this son is King Pasanadi Kosala. And this King Pasanadi Kosala got a sister married to King Bibinsara. That make these two countries become relative in one way. And these two kings, they are the strong supporter to Buddha, but both of them also die in a very pathetic way.Very charming one. untimely death for at least one of them, not natural death. So, okay, let's go to King Bibinsara. So this country is Magadha, and the capital is called Rajagada. So this King Bibinsara became the king at the age of 15, and he was ruling the country for 52 years, meaning to say at least he still is the king when he was in 67, and he passed away, I think, probably a few years after that. So when this Prince Siddhartha is still ascetic, one day the king met him in the street of Rajagaha, and then I think he offered half of the country, kingdom to this ascetic from another source. But then this ascetic say, I rejected his offer because he's still not enlightened yet. That is the reason why King Bibinsara invite him to come to his kingdom when this ascetic become enlightened. That's the reason, because I'm wondering why he invite the Buddha to come to his kingdom only after his enlightenment. In fact, he met him much earlier. So, this Prince Siddhartha, he holds to his promise. After his enlightenment, he still remembers. So he go to this Rajagada with his disciple and Arahan. The first time this ascetic met this King Bibinsara. So, because King Bibinsara was attracted by his dignified deportment and his majestic appearance, so he go and ask him, "Where do you come from?" to find out his birthplace and his ancestry. So the Gautama told him that, "O King, right up in the Himalaya, there's a district called Kosala, and there's an ancient family. And the country is very wealthy, very energetic. So I'm from that family. It's under the Solar Dynasty. And probably in the Solar Dynasty, there are many type of, different branch. And then this King Siddhartha is born to Sakya family. And he also introduced himself that he don't crave for pleasure and senses. And he see peace in renunciation. That's why he's renowned by then. Okay, so the story come to this King Bibinsara offer him half of the kingdom, but this King Princess Siddhartha didn't accept it, but promised that he will visit him after his enlightenment. So this Buddha, Sakyamuni, remember his promise very well. So he and all the disciple and Arahan go to, from Gaya, they go to Rajagaha. So this, and then they stay in Supatita Srin in Palm Grove. So when the news of this special religious teacher arrived in the city, was spread in the city. So this king, he actually know that the Buddha is taking his meal. Is it here? Oh, sorry, that's the other one. So he and all his people go and pay respect to the Buddha. Some of them salute to Buddha. Some of them just introduce themselves. And some of them is giving a very friendly gesture to Buddha. And some of them just after that sit silently beside Buddha, waiting for the Buddha to say something. So I think at this time, Buddha Gautama and Venerable Kassapa appear together. So everybody is wondering who is the teacher, Kassapa or Buddha. And Buddha can read their mind, so Buddha says something. Because that time I think Kassapa also is also very famous. So the Buddha asked this Venerable Kassapa, why you give up the fire sacrifice? I think the fire sacrifice is very popular during the ancient India. So this Kassapa, also very sengmok, he also understand why the Buddha asking him these questions. So I think he bowed to the Buddha and he mentioned why he gave up the fire sacrifice is because he don't see the point of the fire sacrifice instead, but he see the peaceful state of Nibbana over the worthless sensual pleasures. So he pay respect to the Buddha and he do mention, my teacher Lord is the exalted one, I'm the disciple twice. So by this sentence, it make everybody clear who is the teacher. So and then because of this, Buddha continue to preach. It's called Mahanarada Kassapa Jataka. In this, the Buddha mentioned that there was one time he was born by the name of Narada. Right, that time he's not renounced, but he also converted Kassapa in the similar way. So they mean this time also the history repeat. So after hearing this, Buddha expounded the Dharma. So everybody, the eyes of truth open up, and this King Bibinsara attained Suttapati, and he seek refuge in the Buddha, Dharma, and Sangha. He actually in another place, it is mentioned he got five wishes, all fulfilled, including ruling the country, meet a teacher who teach him, and that's why he's very grateful to the Buddha. And in return, before that he did ask Buddha, where do you stay? So the Buddha say, reply is a secluded place, not too near or not too far from the city, so that whoever want to see him is convenient and access to the Buddha. Then that this place also should not be too crowded during the day, not too busy at night, and is suitable for the men, and it should be airy. So this King Bibinsara knows that bamboo grove will probably is very precious to him, and this is probably very suitable for Buddha and the Sangha. So he offered it because he's very grateful to the Buddha for attaining Sotapan, become a Sotapan. So this place also is called Sanctuary of the Squirrel. And those days when it was offered, there's no building in this place. The Pali term is called Arama, meaning it's a park without buildings initially. And this is the first gift that Buddha received as a residence. He actually stayed for 3 raining seasons in this place consecutively. And later on, he also stayed at different times. He also stayed here 3 times. So total, he stayed here for 6 raining seasons. Okay. King Bibinsara, after this experience, he become a very good king, and he observing Usopati regularly for 6 times in a month. As Brother Tio has mentioned last week, they follow 8 precepts and other stuff. Okay, so it is mentioned here. No doubt so far he's a Sotapan and looks like he's a king and everything was okay, very fine. Here he start this, he got his past bad karma that surfaced and ripened at this point of time. So actually he got a son by the sister of this King Pasenadi Kosala. So this prince is called Ajatasattu. So this Ajatasattu befriend with Devadatta, the man who always want to fight with Buddha. they spend a lot of time together, and this Deva Datta Tera give a very bad influence to this prince Ajatasattu. So Ajatasattu can't wait for the father to pass away. He wanted to be a king. So they have a plot. He tried to kill the king at night. He hide the knife and creep into the king's rooms. But he was caught, and the father, the king also, King Bimbisara, know the whole story. But he was so compassionate. He was thinking, he has already become a king for 52 years. It's also time for him to pass the throne to the son so that he can enjoy his spiritual life, his religious life. That is his thought. Therefore, he, instead of punish the son, he actually let the son to be the king. So this is one of the critical points that followed by and lead to his death. So this son, when he become the king, he now, instead of paying gratitude, I don't know what is the story behind that he hate the father so much. Otherwise, the Devadatta don't know how to influence him. So when he become the king, he put his father, King Bimbisara, in the prison, in the coldest part and the darkest part of the palace. And he only allowed the mother to visit King Bimbisara with the instructions that no food to be served to him. He wanted to starve him to death. Okay, so the mother initially bring food in the pouch to the father, and the son discover. So the mother changed to bring the food in his hair knot. Also, this son discover. And lastly, the mother got no choice. She bathe herself in those scented water, and then she apply butter, ghee, honey, and mixture of all this with molasses. Then he visit the king. So the king will lick her, at least this become a part of the food supply to the king. And somehow or other, this over vigilant son also detected all this, and this time he stopped the mother from visiting the King Bimbisara. So King Bimbisara this time is without food, but somehow he is still able to enjoy there because he's a sotapan, so he really enjoy his spiritual happiness. But ultimately, this wicked son can't wait for the father to die, so he give a very inhuman instruction to his barber to cut the father's soul open and put in salt and oil, and force the father, of course he don't do it on his own, and force the father to walk on burning charcoal. So this barber followed the instructions with a few soldiers and go and see this King Bimbisara in the jail. So at first, when King Bimbisara saw the barber coming, he was very happy, thinking that the son realized what he had done and wanted to cut the father's hair and then jangle everything and release him. But instead, the inhuman instructions and order was executed, and he passed away in a very pitiful state and great agony. So, okay. On that day when he passed away, his son Ajatasattu also become the son, the father, the wife give birth. And what happened was he read the letter or the news of his wife give birth to a baby to him first. So he was so joyful to be first time be the father. So he ran to ask the mother, did my father love me this way when I was the son? Something like that. So the mother asked him, what are you talking about? And then the mother told him, when the mother was pregnant, prince, she got a very special craving of sucking blood from the father's right hand, and then of course she didn't tell, And because of that, she became very thin and very pale. And somehow the husband or King Bimbisara discovered it. And King Bimbisara is so passionate and allowed her to do this. So the mother can settle this craving, got the blood from the father. And then some fortune teller tell the mother that this son, this baby, will become the enemy of the father. So the mother planned to abort this baby, but the husband stopped it. And then when this baby was born, she was trying to kill. Yeah, the mother wanted to kill this baby. Again, the father stopped her. So that's how this Prince Ajatasattu continue her life. That's why his name is Ajatasattu, means unborn enemy, the actual meaning. So and then the mother continued the story that there was one time when he was still a baby, he developed a boil in his finger and nobody can actually comfort him to sleep. So he cried, and the father, even though administrating his work as the head of the country in the court, he bring the baby in the lab and then he sucked the baby ball until it burst in his mouth with the pus and everything blood. That's the way he treat the baby. So when this Prince Ajatasattu know about this story, he was crying and say, "Please go and run and release my father." But it was too late. The father already passed away. Okay, so that happened on the day. So this King Bimbisara died, and very immediately he was reborn as a deva by the name of Janavasabha in Chattu Maharajika heaven. So very bad karma also can become a deva. And then, okay. So later part, Ajatasattu also met the Buddha and he became one of the distinguished disciples. And he also played a very important role in the first convocations later on. Okay, basically this is the story of this King Bimbisara. Next we go to King Pasenadi Kosala. Okay, his kingdom is Kosala, the capital is Savatthi. He is also a strong supporter, royal supporter of Buddha. And I think he's about contemporary of the Buddha because and when he was very young, he was very lucky. The father made him to be a king before the father passed away, probably because he's very talented in various way. So he became the Buddhist at the very early stage of Buddha ministry. So it's stated in Samyutta Nikaya that he approached the Buddha and asked Buddha about his enlightenment by asking that Buddha is very young in his actual age and also very young in his ordination. Probably like he was not renounced for many, many, many years, like what happened to a lot of Indian people at that time. Then the Buddha tell him these things. There are four objects that you should not disregard or should not underestimate. So first one is Katiya or warrior prince. The second one is the snake and followed by fire and bhikkhun. Then Buddha proceed to tell them why he says so. So this is the one of the interesting sermon. And the king say, the king say because a warrior, even is very young, can cause harm to anybody, and a snake is a bite only can kill a person, and the fire can burn building and forest, even they are very small starting, and the last is a bhikkhun, young bhikkhun. He or she can be a saint, even is very young in the age. Okay. Then, this because of all this sermon, King Pasenadi Kosala immediately become a disciple of this Buddha, and he attached to Buddha very, very much. It's said that sometimes he even see Buddha 3 times in a day, and sometimes even he got some important work related to the kingdom or any appointment. If he can, he will not go. Rather, he will go to see Buddha. That's how he is a big fan of Buddha. And then it says that there's one time he prostrate to Buddha and he even kisses the Buddha feet many, many times. King Pasenadi Kosala got a chief queen, that's Mallika. And Mallika is very, very smart. King Pasenadi Kosala is very, very attached to sensual pleasure. So many times his Buddha, the wife explained to him on some of the Dharma stuff. That's why it say that greatly responsible for his religious enthusiasm. The wife encouraged him. Not only a wife, he's also a true friend, he's also a religious guide on many occasions. For instance, there was one time King Pasenadi have a dream, 16, Kosala have a dream, 16 dreams. So this dream is making him very uneasy because he don't understand the meaning. Actually, I printed out the dreams, but I didn't read yet. So he seek the advice from those Brahmin advisor. And the advice given to him is in order to neutral those probably the negative effect from the dream. So King Pasenadi Kosala was advised to carry out a massive animal, elaborate animal sacrifice. So when the wife know about this, in order to save those helpless creatures and animals, Queen Mallika asked him go and seek the advice of Buddha, because with the wisdom of Buddha, probably he will know better. So actually this King Pasenadi Kosala go and get the advice of the Buddha. So one by one, the 16 dreams, the Buddha explained their significance to him. So by doing this, the animal sacrifice was not carried out. And this King Pasenadi Kosala also very special because he really got a good karma. He listened to many Dharma, very edifying and instructive discourse from Buddha. Many, many compared to King Bimbisara, right? So in the Samtuya Nikaya, there's one section called Kosala Samyutta. That is because of those discourse that Buddha preached to him. Okay, there was one event when he was with the Buddha. There are many ascetic, those in hairy ascetic passing by them. So this king salute to them and tell them he's the king, Kosala Pasenadi. Then after he sat back with the Buddha and he asked the Buddha, because he wanted to know whether those people who walk past them, the ascetic that walks passing them, whether they are arahant and not. So because of this, the Buddha explained to him that ordinary lay people like him, is not easy. Lay people that enjoying these material pleasures means they are not renowned or not practicing Dharma like the Sangha. So Buddha say it is not easy for us to differentiate or to recognize whether that person is an arahant or non-arahant. So in this, Buddha explained a few items. He said it's only If you want to know a person whether they are arahant or not arahant, in the first place, we have to be heedful, right? We have to be intelligent, and we must also, I think heedful here is referring you must be observant, and you must also have long time enough for you to recognize whether that person is arahant or not arahant. Okay, over here you say associations. By association, you will probably know the other party conduct. Sila, conduct. And then he also, Buddha also mentioned is by converse, samvoharena, then you will know the other party purity. Okay, and then in time of the trouble, you will also know the other party fortitude, right? And then through discussion, you will know the other party wisdom. So these are the few things. But basically, we also have to be heedful, we have to be intelligent, we have to go through this process long enough to see whether the other party is arahant or not. So there's an italic paragraph that Brother Teo probably will explain it. So, okay. King Kosala has a king of a kingdom. He definitely have a warfare. So, with a neighboring country. So, there was one time he was fighting with his nephew, King Ajatasattu, and defeated. So, based on this, the Buddha mentioned, victory breeds hatred, the defeated live in pain, happily and peacefully live, giving up victory and defeat. So, Buddha is saying that if you win also, you breed hatred on the other party, you know. And then to enjoy peaceful life, give up the warfare, then you probably enjoy the peaceful life. Another occasion, King Kosala again, in a war he won, right? He managed to catch this King Ajatasattu with his elephant, his chariot, and his army, everything. So, he wanted to release, he actually did. He released only King Ajatasattu, and he wanted to take all those material things with him. But Buddha advised him to not to do so. This time, the Buddha is saying something that is also apply on our current world. Brother always say, a person who always use sword, you eventually also die by the sword. Is this like, it's over this paragraph, they say, you conquer people. One of the day, you will definitely be conquered, right? And he also say, yeah, basically he say this lah. Buddha say this. Oh, there's another event about woman. Buddha, being the religious teacher during his time, he is special and compared to others Indian Brahmin where they look down on women. Buddha always praise and see the importance or significance of women in the world. So he says something very interesting and enlightening about womankind. Okay, it was because one time King Pasenadi Kosala was with the Buddha, and the news just came that his queen Malika gave birth to a daughter. So this King Pasenadi Kosala, being the typical Indian, he wasn't that happy. For some reason, like Indian, when they have daughter, they marry off the daughter, they have to give dowry, all this stuff. So Buddha take this this time to explain about the woman by saying, he say, sometimes certain women, some women are indeed better than the man. You bring her up, and then these women are very wise, virtual, and can be, they treat the mother-in-law as the goddess, and they can even give birth to a son who can be a very good ruler in the future. So some women are even better than men. This is the key words. There's one event, King Pasenadi Kosala, his grandmother passed away at the age of 120 years. So King Kosala is probably very attached to this grandmother. So he said to Buddha, he even willing to give up everything so long as he can save the grandmother. Then the Buddha consoled him and saying, all beings are mortal. Right? And everything, like, you know, potter, so long as you exist, you are bound to break. So human being, once you are born, you are bound to death. Okay, the other paragraph is about that he is very attached to Buddha. He spent a lot of time with him. Okay, this part is come to how King Kosala eventually has conflict with the son. His King Kosala chief consort, the daughter of is a daughter of a garland maker. So when this King Kosala married this wife, I think he probably don't know all this. And then this King Kosala, from this wife, they got a son called Vidudaba. Okay? So this son, this son, the mother is a daughter of Sakya family. Oh, yeah, and his grandmother is a slave girl. Just now the one is the mother, this the wife is garland daughter, then this is the grandson. So I think he was made fool by people about his background, right? Derogatory remark. So he's very unhappy, yeah. And then because of this, he actually make the king die out of the city in a hall in a very pitiful stage, only with a servant as his companion. Right? So this King Kosala also died before the Buddha.
Okay. Anything else? Oh, finish. Okay.
Brother, please.
Sadhu. Okay, yeah. Let us rejoice. Sadhu. Okay, very good. At least you try. Not bad. Okay. Whatever she don't understand, she very, very sincere. She said she don't understand, which is good. So don't worry. Anyway, we thank you, Pauline, for the good try. Sadhu. Okay, what I will do is I will go through with you all quickly just to summarize what she has tried to share. Then the part that she says she don't know, we will try to go through. So chapter 11, the Buddha's royal patron. There is a Mahakasapa Theragata 1053 in italic, the four line. A treacherous book. It is this patronage. So treacherous, the meaning is betrayer. So of bowl and give and treats from wealthy folk. This is like a fine dart bathed in the flesh for erring human heart to extradict. So this is to tell you, you don't take care of karma. You will confront with this type of people, although they are your royal patron. So you have to really be careful. Then just like the Gatha say, it's like a fine dart bathed in the flesh. You can see. For erring human, very hard to take it out, extradite. So this is to just remind us of the importance of karma. So there are people who have the tendency to betray you and other things. So if you don't take care, karma condition can arise and you can be betrayed back. So all this need wisdom and understanding. Okay, the first royal patron is King Bimbisara. King Bimbisara, who ruled in Magadha with his capital in Rajagangha, was the Buddha's first royal patron. Ascending the throne at the age of 15, very young, he reigned for 52 years. So he is one of the longest serving kings. When Prince Siddhartha renounced the world and was seeking alms in the street of Rajagangha, as a humble ascetic, the king saw him from his palace and was highly impressed by his majestic appearance and dignified deportment, means the way he carried himself, the way he walked, and the way he go for alms round. Immediately he sent messenger to ascertain who he was. On learning that he was resting after his meal under the Padava Pabada, the king, accompanied by his reticule, went up to the royal ascetic and inquired about his birthplace and ancestry. The ascetic Gautama replied, "Just tread, O king, upon the Himalayas, there is, in the district of Kosala, of ancient family, a country endowed with energy and wealth and energy. I am sprung from that family, which by clan belonged to the Sola dynasty, by birth to the Sakyan. I crave not for pleasure of the senses, realizing the evil of sensual desire, and seeing renunciation as safe, I proceed to seek the highest, for in that my mind rejoices." So this was a very, very beautiful answer, very nicely spoken. Thereupon the king invited him to visit his kingdom after his enlightenment. So the Buddha meets King Bimbisara. In accordance with the promise the Buddha make to King Bimbisara before his enlightenment, he, with his large reticule of Arahant disciple, went from Gaha to Rajagaha. Those who have been to India, you are familiar with this city, Rajagaha, also Gaya, the capital district of Magadha. Here he stayed at the Supatita shrine in the palm grove. This happy news of the Buddha's arrival in the kingdom and his high reputation as an unparalleled religious teacher soon spread in the city. The king, hearing of his arrival, came with a large number of his subjects to welcome the Buddha. He approached the Buddha, respectfully saluted him, and sat at a side. Of his subject, some respectfully saluted him, some looked towards him with expression of friendly greeting, some saluted him with clasped hands, some introduced themselves, while others, in perfect silence, took their seat. As both the Buddha Gautama and Venerable Kassapa was held in high esteem by the multitude, they were not certain whether the Buddha was leading the holy life under Venerable Kassapa or the latter under the former. So this was the part that just now Polian was trying to explain to you. So after the enlightenment, the Buddha as he had promised the king before he became enlightened, because he preferred to seek the renunciation life rather than the treacherous or the dangerous sensual life. Then he told the king that he was from the Sakyan family high in the Himalayas. Then the king was very happy, then requested the Buddha, requested the ascetic, the royal ascetic, which was Gautama, to visit him if he really became enlightened. So that was a promise. So after his enlightenment, as we have gone through early on, he was reluctant to teach. Then later on, this Brahma Sahampati came and advised him that there are some with little das who can understand him. So he reflected and surveyed the world, and he found out the two teachers that taught him, Alara and Udaka, they already passed away about a week ago, one of them. The other one, the day before. Then he surveyed the world again. Then he recalled the five ascetics that followed him. That's how he went and see them and proclaimed the first sermon, Dhammacakkappavattana Sutta. Then after that, from the five who became Arahan, they recruited a lot more. Then finally, the biggest recruit was this, the fire sermon. I think the two brothers, the Kassapa brothers. These two are not Mahakassapa, the disciple. No. These two are different. These are the Kassapa driver brothers who are very famous, lead a lot of followers, and they like the fire. They practice fire sacrifice, and they became very famous. Then, because of condition, somehow the Buddha was able to convert them and show it to them that all this will not lead to enlightenment. Then he used the fire as a object of meditation. Then he came out with a fire sermon. Everything is burning. The eye is burning regarding the six sense door, everything. Then the Kassapa brother, they awakened. That's why after that, all of them became Arahant. That's how, after that, the Buddha decided to visit the king. So King Bimbisara and all his people that came, they were not sure as who is really the teacher and who is the converted disciple when they met the Buddha and the Kassapa brothers. Then the story went on. I read to you. The Buddha can read their thought and question Venerable Kassapa as to why he has given up his fire sacrifice practice. You turn to page 192. Understanding the motive of the Buddha's question, he explained that he has abandoned fire sacrifice because he preferred the passionless and peaceful state of Nibbana to the worthless sensual pleasure. So those who have the wisdom and understanding, they will know. They seek the passionless, means without craving, and the peaceful state of Nibbana, which is cessation. After this, he fell at the feet of the Buddha and acknowledging his superiority by saying, "My teacher, Lord, is the exalted one. I am the disciple." Then he repeated it twice so that other people hear him loud and clear. "My teacher, Lord, is the exalted one. I am the disciple." So the devout people were delighted to hear of this conversation. The Buddha thereupon preached the Mahanarada Kassapa Jataka to show how in a previous birth when he was born as Narada, still subject to passion, means that time he is not the Buddha as yet, or fully enlightened as yet. He also converted Kassapa in a similar way. So because of affinity, when he became the Sammasambuddha, this Kassapa brother also got converted in a similar way. So hearing the Dhamma expounded by the Buddha, the eye of truth arose in all of them. King Bimbisara attained Sotapatti, means he became a Sotapan. And seeking refuge in the Buddha, the Dhamma and the Sangha invited the Buddha and his disciple to his palace for the meal on the following day. After the meal, the king wished to know where the Buddha would reside. So this part also, Polian was trying to explain to you. But I will summarize it for you. The Buddha replied that a secluded place, neither too far nor too close to the city, accessible to those who desire to visit him, pleasant, not crowded during the day, not too noisy at night, with as few sound as possible, airy, and fit for the privacy of man, would be suitable. The king thought that his bamboo grove would meet all such requirements. Therefore, in return for the transcendental gift the Buddha had bestowed upon him, means making him a Sotapanna, he gifted for the use of the Buddha and the Sangha the park with this ideally secluded bamboo grove, also known as the Sanctuary of the Squirrel. It would appear that this park had no building for the use of the bhikkhus, but was filled with many shady trees and secluded spot. However, this was the first gift of a place of residence for the Buddha and his disciple. Then the Buddha and his disciples spent 3 successful rain retreat or session, rainy season, and 3 other rainy retreat, means rain retreat, in this quiet Valu Vanarama. After his conversion, the king led the life of an exemplary monarch, observing Upasatha regularly on 6 days of the month, means the Upasat day we have gone through last time. Then Kosala Devi, daughter of King Mahakosala and sister of King Pasenadi Kosala, was his chief lawyer queen. Ajatasattu was her son. Kema, who through the ingenuity of the king became a follower of the Buddha, and who later rose to the position of the first female disciple of the order of nuns, was another queen. Though he was a Though he was a pious monarch, yet due to his past evil karma, he had a very sad and pathetic death. See, you don't take care of karma. He can become king also because of his parami. He can encounter the Buddha Dhamma also because of his parami. But he has to go through such miserable death in the hand of his own son. He must have owed his son a lot, I tell you. He must have done a lot of stupid things in the past. So the story went by. He said, Prince Ajatasattu, successor to the throne, instigated by wicked Devadatta, remember? The cousin of Sakyamuni Buddha, attempted to kill him and usurp the throne. The unfortunate prince was caught red-handed, and the compassionate father, instead of punishing him for his brutal act, rewarded him with a coveted crown. You are a king, then your own son plot against you, then you defeated him. What will you do to him? What will you do to him? Banish him, like in China. Cannot kill their own sibling, but he will banish. But a lot of emperors also kill those who try to upsurge the throne and all those things. So in this case, the son was very surprised. Well, instead of being punished, he was rewarded with the coveted crown, to be the crown prince. The ungrateful son showed his gratitude to his father by casting him into prison later on, you see, in order to starve him to death. His mother alone only had free access to the king daily. So the queen tried everything to conceal the food in all the various places that Pulian had shared. But the son, Ajatasattu, he came to know where the father didn't die. So after that, he decided not to let the mother go in. Then he plotted again. So when King Bimbisara was without any means of sustenance, but he paced up and down enjoying spiritual happiness as he was already a sotapan. Ultimately, the wicked son decided to put an end to the life of his noble father. Ruthlessly, he ordered his barber to cut open his soul and put salt and oil on thereon and make him walk on burning charcoal. See? This type of comic thing. It's both sides, you know. Now the son do it to him. Last time, I don't know what the father did. it is something very, very, or equally bad. The king who saw the barber approaching thought that the son, realizing his folly, was sending the barber to shave his growth, beard, and hair, and release him from prison. Contrary to his expectation, he had to meet an untimely sad end. The barber mercilessly executed the inhuman order of the barbarous prince. The good king died in great agony. On that very day, a son was born to Ajatasattu. Letter conveying the news of birth and death reached the palace at the same time. The letter conveying the happy news was first read. Lo, the love he cherished towards his firstborn son was indescribable. His body was thrilled with joy, and the paternal love penetrated up to the very marrow of his bone. So he was full of joy because of the firstborn child. Then after that, immediately he rushed to the beloved mother and questioned her mother. He was curious whether his father was also like him when he was born. He said, "Mother dear, did my father love me when I was a child?" Then the mother told him, "What say you, son? When you were conceived in my womb, I developed a craving to sip some blood from the right hand of your father. This I dare not say. Consequently, I grew pale and thin because she couldn't have the blood. I was finally persuaded to disclose my inhumane desire. Joyfully, your father fulfilled my wish, and I drank that abhorrent portion. The soothsayer predicted that you would be an enemy of your father. Accordingly, you were named Ajatasattu, unborn enemy. I attempted to effect miscarriage, but your father prevented it. After you were born again, I wanted to kill you. Again, your father interfered. On one occasion, you were suffering from boil in your finger, and nobody was able to lull you into sleep. But your father, who was administrating justice in his royal court, took you in his lap, caressing you, sucked the boy out. Lo, inside the mouth, it burst open. Oh, my dear son, that pulse and blood. Yes, your affectionate father swallowed it out of love for you. Instantly, he cried, run, and release my beloved father quickly. By then, the father is already dead. The other letter was then placed in his hand. Ajatasattu shed hot tears. He realized what paternal love was only after he became a father himself. King Bimbisara died and was immediately after born as a deva named Janavasabha in the Chattu Maharaja Rajika heaven, means the four heavenly gods. Later, Ajatasattu met the Buddha and became one of his distinguished followers and took a leading part in the holding of the first convocation. So that was the story. Huh? You had to take care of karma is because of that. What do you think was the karmic cause behind King Bimbisara and his son? Huh? How will he end up this way? Can you make a guess? Anybody want to try? Huh? How did all these things happen? Like the Buddha says, whatever that arises, there are causes and conditions behind. So you need to have wisdom, understanding, for you to comprehend all this. Yeah. I believe most of you might have this type of thought. Where got king so stupid one? Correct? Go all out to save. People predict enemy, all those things. Because of love and all those things. He just want to make sure that the child is born and all those things. Actually, it's not just that. Because of the karmic conditioning, this child actually has this hatred and anger to take revenge, but he doesn't know that life. So when he come, he's supposed to suffer and die. But this father, because of condition that he didn't know, become so protective of him out of love and all those things. That was because he must keep him alive so that his karma can take its course. You understand that? If he don't keep him alive, his karma cannot take its course. That's why sometimes karma is like that. It's not for you to say, you understand that? Then you can go and question even the Buddha. Hey, I did so much good thing. I love him so much. I care, provided for him, sacrificed for him. I did all these things. I don't deserve this type of death. Is it? It's because not this life. It's from the past. That's why if you don't take care of karma, a lot of things you cannot avoid. And the Buddha make it very clear. We are all born of our karma, heir to our karma, conditioned and supported by our karma. And we are what we are because of our karma. So, that is just a sharing so that you all can wake up to the understanding of taking care of karma. Yun Chan, you got anything you want to ask? Come, I pass the mic to you, come.
I figured he must have been very treacherous in his past life.
Yeah.
He must have tortured a lot of people.
And
that's why he was tortured in the end. By having to walk on the coals.
You are right in that respect. But the other thing that you miss out is he must have done something that Ajatasattu did. To him, means as a son in previous life, many lives, he must have tortured his own parent or father. You understand? Otherwise, that karmic thing won't hit him until the son did it to him. Understand? And yet, he obediently loved, sacrificed, and do everything and make sure the son survived to torture him and bring about that karmic thing.
So, but he was so nice to the son.
It's not to say he was so nice. He has to keep the son alive. That's why the karmic will condition him to love him, sacrifice for him, and do all those things, and make sure he don't die, so that he can become king. Even after he plot against him with Devadatta, and the father's army actually won, and control him, capture him, then didn't even banish him or put him in prison. Instead, reward him with the crown prince. Then when the opportunity come, the crown prince throw the father into the jail. See? So all this has this coming. So have to take care of karma. Cannot play a fool. Okay, maybe we stop here. The next page, I will continue next Tuesday. Because I want to reserve some time. So that we can get Pamasuri to share. She went to Fakusan recently to attend the Surangama. Was it a chanting? Sutta retreat, sadhu. Yeah. Okay. Yeah.
Good evening, Brother Teo, and all Kayanamitas. Actually, I'm very excited to share. Very excited to share. But I will share according to my understanding. Because this is a very big function. And all the according to the figures that they give, throughout the whole world, the amount of people involved is 1.2 million.
Wow, sadhu. Means they have video conference.
Yes, video conference in 48 centers.
Yeah, yeah. And so link them all up. Yeah, sadhu.
They link up all the participants and the participant and volunteers is 1.2 million.
Oh, sadhu,
so maybe sadhu. What I see is only one part of it.
Yeah, yeah, one it of the center.
One of the centers. Of the center, and this is the Fa Ku San is the main organizer.
Yeah.
And in Taiwan, that center.
Yeah.
Actually, I would like to express my gratitude and respect to Sheng Yan Fa Si who started this.
Yeah, sadhu.
And also Brother Teo who gave me the understanding that I can just sail through this congregation with a very happy mind, happy
sadhu,
and relaxed mind.
Yeah, Rizal.
So
yeah.
Actually, all started with a friend from Hong Kong encouraging me to go.
Oh, okay.
But I can't find any reason to go. But somehow or other, after our retreat in March this year, when I come back, I think about it. Why not give it a try?
Yeah.
So, actually, I booked the ticket very early. April
sadhu.
Or May, I already booked the ticket.
Sadhu.
So, I'm not confirming that I will get a place. Actually, the amount, number of people, I give you this figure so that you can understand how the thing goes. So, the number of people staying in the monastery when this congregation is on is about 4,000.
Oh, okay.
So, initially, I can't imagine how they can accommodate 4,000 people.
Yeah, accommodate and cater.
So, actually, there are altogether 10 centers that running the course at the Dharma course at the same time to accommodate these 5,000 people from different background, different kind of expectation, and different level of cultivation. So they are all together 10. They call it the Tanwei. They call it the Tanwei. So in they have this Surangama hall, meditation hall, which is they chant the six patriarchs.
Yeah.
And they have Jing Tu Tan.
Oh.
And they have Yao Si Tan.
Yeah.
They have
good.
Guan Ying Tan.
Yeah.
They're all together 11 of them.
11 of them.
And there is one special for those volunteers.
Oh,
you can
okay.
stay anywhere, but you cultivate as you work and as you serve.
Yeah, serve and contribute.
As you serve.
Yeah.
So all the food they cook inside there, I can't imagine how can they cook for 4,000 people.
Yeah, yeah.
And the hall that we slept in one hall they can cater about 500 people.
Oh, that's
one
big.
Conference
that's
hall.
That's very big. Yeah, that's very big.
So we sleep on double bunk.
Yeah, yeah.
So surprisingly, when I went in, you know, during our retreat in Cameron Islands, everybody was so scared to sleep at the upper bunk.
Yeah,
and they placed me in the upper bunk. So, practically the space that we have is like 3 feet by 6 feet.
Yeah,
that's all. And then, I check in. So, quite surprised lah. I don't have any aware that I don't have any negativity. So okay, upper bunk, never mind, I just climb up. So actually when I was up there I was very happy. Because I can see I can see the people
from a higher
level. And surprisingly I slept very well throughout.
Very good.
500.
How many days?
It's 8 days
eight
and
days,
7 nights. The 8 days symbolize the Noble Eightfold Path. The 7 days symbolize seven factors of enlightenment. That is what we were told. Yeah. So we are not allowed to bring in plastic bags.
Oh,
so
okay.
So no plastic bags, no alarm clock. So practically everybody it will be quiet from 10 to 4. And can you imagine that some of them, they check in after a few hours, they cannot stand, so
check
they
out.
Check out.
Yeah.
And my immediate neighbor, two neighbors, yeah, immediately they check in, half an hour later they check out. They cannot cope with that kind of situation.
Yeah. Environment.
So, like, about 400 over of us using 25 toilets.
Yeah, sadu.
And some of them, they woke up 3:30 to bathe.
Yeah.
And some of them, they didn't bathe for days.
Yeah.
But I was quite lucky in the sense that my, the Surangama Sutta, Tanwe, meditation one, we have a more relaxed program. We start 8:30 and we end 4:30.
Oh, okay.
And we are given a choice whether to attend the night session.
Oh, okay.
Whereas some others, they are, it's like compulsory for them to attend the night session.
Oh, okay.
So the night session is like the chao tu.
Chao tu, yeah.
It's the chao tu, and they were some dhamma talk.
Yeah.
So I was in the Surangama hall, which I will call the Tanwe.
Yeah, Tanwe.
So actually for every Tanwe, they will give you gongkhe. They will ask you to prepare before you go.
Oh, okay. Very good.
So I diligently, honestly, and do my homework.
Did all the gongkhe,
I go. So I cope quite well.
Yeah, quite well.
And during the chanting of the Surangama Sutta, I have this experience of tears flowing out.
Oh, sadhu, very good.
And for 2-3 days,
yeah,
and this kind of gratitude arises from me.
Yeah.
I don't have to go through the 6 years of
the
Buddha go to get
austere practice.
Yes, austere practice to get all this knowledge.
There is the understanding.
There are few we have, even during that time we have gongkhe.
So the gongkhe, what did they ask you to do?
They ask us to do bowing.
Oh,
Mahayana type of bowing.
Very good.
20 bow per day, 200 bow per day.
Yeah, that is very, very
But
important.
if your health cannot take it, you have a choice to do something else.
Yeah.
You can report and then they will give you something else. You either do chanting or you do walking.
Oh,
they are quite flexible this time. So
good.
I was quite famous because I bow at home, so it was not
very difficult to me.
So I just did my bowing.
Very good.
And then we did walking also. Yeah. But at certain moments, I can feel that the body and the mind
become one.
It's just a moment.
Yeah. Imperfect synchronization.
Yes, then there were one day, because we started 8:30, so our first chauke is 5 o'clock. So after that, we still have a lot of time.
Yeah.
So we climb up to the Kai San Kwan, top of the hill.
Yeah.
There were one day I go and walk around, and there were one moment, the chanting, the footstep, and the body movement.
Yes, all as one.
All in harmony.
In harmony. It's like a flow.
Yes. Actually, throughout the thing, I'm aware that I reacted less.
Because
out of 300 over people in one hall, they are all from all walks of life. And I, because from the previous the retreat experiment, what I would call experience, I realized that I reacted.
The earlier retreat.
I reacted less. My mind.
Yeah.
I can see things there are people who wake up 3:30 to do their concord, because if you don't do, you cannot complete.
Yeah.
Automatically, you have to go and quiz young.
Yeah. Well,
so like, you either
like,
quiz
like
young.
Punishment.
It's not really like. To me, I say, if I really cannot finish a quiz young, just quiz young law is also a kind of meditation.
Yeah,
so
yeah. If
I
you understand, it's also a meditation.
Yes, if I really cannot take the concord, so I just go and quiz young. It's also a homework.
Correct. Kui Xiang means like you kneel until the candle or
the
incense.
Half an hour.
Yeah, yeah. The ancient day punishment. You kneel for so long until the incense fully burns. Depend on how big the thing is. If it's the big fellow like Kao Wong Ye one, I tell you, you can kneel there for days. Kao Wong Ye one can light for days on. But this one is half an hour. Okay.
But if you don't have that kind of perception, is it?
Yeah, no difference.
No difference.
You can accord and flow and become very, very adept to it. That's why I can feel your joy. The moment you arrive, when you text me your this puja and the dana thing, I told my wife, I say, Padmasuri is full of joy. Straight away I knew, because from the way you text, then I can feel it. That's why tonight I want you to share. It's because of that. You can see, and it's so different. Then I can even tell you, after that, the moment he sit, totally different. The samadhi, the silent mind, all come straight away. Your meditation, no need training, no need method, no need technique, no need not this breathing and all that thing. No need. The moment you sit, the mind that is in sati, continuously, is just in the meditative state straight away. That's the tea just come. You can reach that state, I sadhu you. You sure will have the great condition to awaken, and you will understand a lot of things. That's why daily mindfulness is very modern. What they teach you, the 200 bao, the gongke, if you do it well, it's very good, and it really, really change you. That's why the next retreat at Cameron, you do your bowing, I tell you. Just bow. Bow until the sati come. Yeah. Then after that, you walk, you move. Everything is in sati. Don't try to know. Yeah. Because all the thing is in the Hatsutta note and all the sharing is recorded. So don't try to know. Just listen attentively. Whatever let go in, just assimilate it. Cannot also never mind. Silent. Maintain silent mindfulness, awareness. When your sati stabilizes, you become completely different. Yeah. Okay, very good. Continue. Sadhu.
Where am I really?
Yeah, you say after the conquer, all those things, you don't mind kneeling.
The kui xiang. Because I realize when you don't have this negative perception about the things around you, you just accord and flow. Things just go your way. And this time, because the night session is not compulsory, so when I don't feel like going, I mean, I have a reason not to go, because they were teaching about this Liao Fan.
I know the story of Liao
Fan. Yes, my brother Teo told me before. So I didn't.
So no need to listen.
So
anymore.
I don't need to listen. So I go and help in the kitchen to.
Yeah, very
to,
good.
To wash.
Yeah,
the
wash
bowl,
and all those
things. No, the utensil.
I know. A lot of joy.
One whole room full of utensil. But you are not.
Yeah,
you're not upset,
not complaining,
but
and
yes,
all
you're
things.
Happily. You just wash and follow. I was very surprised, you know.
The joy just comes
as you wash. So many people go and help, and so many bowls. It was very, very.
Yeah,
surprised.
Because your mind state is such, I can feel that joy when I receive your WhatsApp message. Very strange. I told my wife, I said, but Masuri, this time, a lot of joy. That's why it's very beautiful.
And then I came down one day earlier, so I stopped by Taipei for one day to wait for my flight to come back. But actually, that place that I rented, it was very noisy. It's supposed to be the Chinatown of Taipei.
Sadio. But it's so conducive for you, because you can
we stand
I just
it's not a problem to you.
It's not a problem to me really.
Yeah. You can fit in because your mind has become different. Understand? It has become different.
And then you don't feel like going out.
Yeah.
I just there were one afternoon when I just stay in the hotel and I listen to your to
sharing,
your talk
sharing.
So as I was lying, I can be aware that my body is resting,
correct.
But the
vibration and the Dhamma is going in.
Yes, it's just coming in.
And you understand it. You understand it.
It just come in.
Yeah, the clarity, the awareness of it. The build that mind is different.
But actually the body is...
resting.
Resting.
Yes. Yes, that's what meditation is all about. Lying down. Completely relax. Just aware. That's why like a dead person, but with awareness within. The body completely like a dead person. Cannot respond, cannot react, cannot do anything. Resting. But the awareness inside is fully aware. Then everything that goes on, the internal transformation, the movement, that form of mind is aware. Just aware, no need to know. Then whatever that it wants to assimilate through the vibration, it will go in. That's why it's very different. The real meditation is very different. Then what you went through, that one is very good. You see, this is still, in a way, a conditioned state where you went through the 8 days and 7 nights and your mind has become different. But that experience that you went through will give you a lot of understanding later on. Later on, when you reflect and contemplate, you will understand how this can come about. But more important is during this period, what you went through, you will have great condition to awaken. Even if you didn't really have the full condition to completely transform, after that, if you maintain your daily mindfulness, in the midst of life, the understanding keep on coming, the awakening. The Dhamma keep on unfolding. Every time you hear truth, you will understand. Every time you hear truth, you will understand. Then just now before we start, I think Adeline was with Yun Chan talking to me. So Adeline now also went through that phase which she also experienced. Oh, she find the Dhamma that was spoken so different. You say the last Thursday class was very good. Yes, the last Thursday class was very good. In fact, the last two, three Thursday class was very good. It's so different, the sharing. Because I explained many things, they were conditioned, especially the Huining style of cultivation that take you direct to the silent mind, no thought. The first characteristic, uniqueness of Huining's teaching is taking you directly to the true mind, the silent mind, which is without thought. That's why Wu Nian, no thought. And I tell you, that is just the first stage of Huining's cultivation. Then after that, when you have the condition to stabilize and insight into phenomena, then when you understand, you will reach the second stage of Noma. Your awakening, your wisdom will tell you there is no mark of a self-cultivating, no mark of living being, no mark of life, phenomena, condition, Dhamma, the phenomenal world. Everything is empty, not what you think. Then after that, you will have to go through the cessation, the gateway. Then your mundane mind must collapse. Then only you have the ability to do the final phase, which is the mind must have no dwelling. It doesn't dwell anywhere anymore. So that three phases or three stages is not easy. But living being, cultivator, so-called meditator, the first stage also cannot reach the silent mind, where they use mainly thought-based meditation. They cannot have a silent mind which is in a free state, not a conditioned state. That's why it's so difficult to do. And the Buddha make it very clear, if you cannot be ever mindful in the midst of life, you are not able to be heedful. And when you are heedless, the heedless are as if dead. You don't stand a chance. That's why heedfulness is the path to the deathless.
the hippo will never die. Your daily mindfulness, you must stabilize it. If you really want to have the awakening, the realization, there is no other way. The other possibility is, if you have done it in your past life, and then this life, maybe sometime in the formal meditation or in the retreat, the condition will arise, and you will understand very fast, and you will break free. But finally, you still have to release out the concentration and go into the daily life to develop the true wisdom, to root out the defilement, the latent tendency, and all those things. Okay, the alarm went off just now. So it's already 10:30. So we should rejoice and thank Padmasri for the sharing. Anything else you want to share?
It's just that the Huixiang itself actually, they are teaching us to make aspiration based on the whatever marriage.
Using the power of marriage
to make aspiration. Yuan xiao san zhang zhu fan nao. Yuan de zhi hui zhen ming
nao.
We want the wisdom.
Pu
yan all the obstacles,
you can break them all.
Yes, so that we can walk the Bodhisattva path.
This is what I teach you in the what they call the book, the new book, Cultivating the Bodhisattva Way. It's all there, except that I use the explanation there, the complete explanation. But here, they like your closing puja, they use it to invoke those causes and conditions for you to remove all those things. You repeat the first one is what?
Yuan xiao san zhang zhu fan nao. San zhang means ye zhang.
I know.
Bao zhang, fan nao zhang. The three kind of obstacles along the path, the bodhisattva path.
But what do you invoke? The merits or what?
After we chant, we invoke the merit that we have.
Yeah. So chanting. you read that one again.
Yuan xiao san zhang zhu fan.
Yuan xiao is what?
Xiao means
do away with all those three zhang.
Yes.
San zhang, okay.
Yuan de zhi hui zhen ming liao. That means we wish to develop wisdom.
I know. For the...
From whatever...
merits that you have.
Yes.
Then the last one?
Yuan zui zhang xi xiao chu.
Oh, okay.
Si si chang xing pu sa dao.
Yeah.
Life after life.
Yeah, you cultivate the bodhisattva way. Yeah, very good. Means you invoke power of merits for you to break all this whatever obstruction. Karmic obstruction. What are the three obstructions?
Bao zhang is a karmic.
I know.
Bao zhang, fan nao zhang.
Fan nao zhang, okay. So zhi zhang.
Ye zhang.
Ye zhang.
Ye zhang.
Coming. Coming obstacle.
Then
wisdom.
One more moment. There's one thing that I cannot understand that I wish to ask Brother Teo. During this closing ceremony, it was like they were wearing those costume with the hat. It was very funny. So the abbot, he was quite short and quite plump. So actually, I was aware that they were walking. But you know, this inside here commented, Cheng Gu Zhou Guai. So I just can't control laughing. You know, it is not intentionally, it just come out from inside. So.
No, because things that you can't understand, the mundane mind will create this. This comes from habitual tendency. You can ask for forgiveness. No problem. Because sometimes when you cannot understand certain tradition, this mundane mind will come out. And it comes from habitual tendency.
It come out and I just cannot control.
Yeah. Because habitual tendency is like that. When you cannot understand... this Monday might take over. That's why the word jingku, so guai.
And I just cannot.
Means these people are trying
already,
to.
Come out already. But actually, they are trying to strengthen the faith because the different.
Yeah, that's why it's people. Their tradition, their way of doing all this. So to them is to maybe, like you say, strengthen your faith, their faith, and also to develop the practice. So this is the way they are used to, their tradition. Yeah. Just like last time, Theravada, they use their tradition. Mahayana, they use their tradition. Then the book that is going to come out, you have to read through and you will benefit. Understanding the Theravada and Mahayana tradition. How to understand them? Because they are their own way of practices, their tradition, their belief system. And both have their pro and con. When you understand, you can fit in. Then you can make use of the good aspect, the pro from both sides, and have an open mind with regards to whatever you don't understand. Then you stand to gain. Then what I want to do is to do away with tradition. That's why depending on the place I go to, I will start off the puja by linking the two together. If I go to a Mahayana center, I will start off with the Mahayana chanting. Namo Pensi Sijia Moni Pho. Then after that, I continue the Theravada Arahang Sama Sambuddho and all those things. Then sometimes if it's a Theravada traditional place, like the temple and all those things, we just chant the Theravada tradition, Namo Tassa and all those things. So this is to let people understand that the tradition is what has been created by living being, by the mundane mind. But what is important is the teaching, the understanding of it. Not to argue over which tradition is better. Not to associate with which tradition because you think the other tradition is wrong. Then you tend to have more affinity with this tradition. Then you take side. That's why you create division and create more misunderstanding. Then you argue. You are told about your pro. Then you are told about your strong point. Then you are also told about the weak point or negative point of the other tradition. So both also have this way of thinking. So that's why the moment they meet, they will argue. They will have this type of division that lead to all the misunderstanding and all this. So forget about all this. Then wherever you go, respect people for what they are. They are just the way they are. Their tradition is like that. They will do things like that. That's why you listen attentively, have an open mind. Then with your understanding, you will know if it's the truth, if there is the Dhamma, you will stand up to investigation. Then you will rejoice. If it's not the truth too, you can accept them for what they are. You can still rejoice and smile. Rejoice at the truth, understand the reality. The truth and the reality is, with delusion, people will do deluded things. So no right, no wrong. You can still smile. You can still accord and flow. Then there is joy wherever you go. Do you realize or not, what he shared, she shared, Paramahansa shared, is very important. You can have a mind that doesn't react. Means you got less mental hindrance. Sensual desire, you will like and dislike. Then you can accord and flow. Then you can be at ease, at peace, wherever you are, no matter what the condition is. The understanding is very important. This moment, at this place, under this condition, things will be like that. You got two choices. Accord and flow and be at peace. Accept the reality of the moment. React, become miserable, and create negativity of mind. Which are mental hindrance. That's why you cannot meditate. You got no peace. So, meditation need a lot of understanding. If you have understanding, you will do very well. And you will be able to meditate anywhere, any place, at any time. So all these are very profound, deep understanding. When you have it, your mind becomes so different. You will go through that type of experience, which is very, very different. Okay? We better end. Because we have to share merit, transfer merit to Sister Susan. Let us recall to mind all of the wholesomeness that we have developed over the last 2 hour plus, then we should rejoice first. Sadhu, sadhu, sadhu. Then maybe dedicate these merits and share them with all beings. First, we will share them with Sister Susan. By the power of whatever merits and wholesomeness that we have developed over the past 2-3 hours, may we dedicate these merits or wholesomeness towards causes and conditions for Susan, Sister Susan Tay, from Klein Danny's sister, to recover from her whatever situation or condition, so that she can give back her health. Then she can recover beautifully from her minor stroke, so that she will become normal again to develop the cultivation, to carry on with his Dharma work, and whatever activity that she is doing. Then may it also bring about causes and conditions for her to have a good rest, which she needed very badly, so that she may recover beautifully. So we should rejoice. Sadhu, sadhu, sadhu. Then may she have the condition to develop peacefulness of mind. May there be love, may there be peace, and may there be joy deep within her mind states. May she too be in a meditative state, to relax, to silent, and at the same time recuperate beautifully, so that she can give back her health to become normal again. And let's hope that she will be discharged soon. Sadhu, sadhu, sadhu. Then now we shall share merits with all the devas. Akasata chabumata devanaga mahindika punyang tang anumoditwa chirang rakantu loka sasana ita wata chamehi sampadan punya sampadan sabbe deva anumodantu sabba sampati siddhiya idang menya tinang hotu sukita hontunya tayo idang menya tinang hotu sukita hontunya tayo idang menya tinang hotu sukita hontunya tayo ibmina punyang kamena mame bala samagamo satang samagamo hotu Yawa Nivana Patiya Sadhu Sadhu Sadhu. Okay, let us pay respect mindfully to all the great beings.